Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. I tell you what, Tubbsy and I are going to keep taking this on tonight because we have different sides of the issue. I'm right and he's wrong. Those are the two sides. Joining us, the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, my good friend Tim Cheetah, longtime American League umpire and Major League umpire because they integrated them. Of course, so they work both leagues, but not the point tonight. We're just talking baseball and some more. Tim, you were out golfing today when the hail came on. Huh?
I was right in the middle of it, but before we get going, let's just let you both know that I'm right and you're both wrong.
That's the same thing you used to tell both managers, right?
Pretty much, baby. Pretty much. Old habits are hard to break.
That's right, man. Did you get caught in it, though? Were you able to hide in the golf cart? What'd you do?
Right in the middle of it, out at Keller, but the best part about it was we were on the 15th tee, and which is as far away as you can be from the clubhouse, but they have a storm shelter there. So we ducked in, and everybody pulled out their phones to see the forecast, and it rained hard for about 15 minutes, and then it kind of let up, but there was lightning, and we all decided that we're not going to continue. So let's go to the clubhouse, and on the way into the clubhouse, all of a sudden the hail came along.
Oh,
and it was ping pong ball size.
Yes, it was.
I've seen pictures and I've seen videos. I've never been in the middle of it in my life. And I mean to tell you, it hurts when it hits you.
Even, so you got pelted, huh?
It was coming from both sides and the cart was getting trashed, but we were getting hit in the legs. And it was worse than
when you worked the plate at Fenway.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, they used to throw a lot of stuff at me at Fenway, but never ice chunks.
Wow, but you got back safely, obviously.
We got back safely, and then it let up. But it's still I took a bunch of photos, and the greens and the tee boxes and everything were just totally, and the fairways were totally covered in white. It looked like it had snowed.
I know, and then it was gone an hour later. You know.
Yeah. Because the temperature dropped, and we thought this isn't going to melt anytime soon, but it did. Oh. But it was a sight to behold. Holy cow!
Hey, Tim, we were just talking about, betting, allowing it in Minnesota, et cetera, and that led me to an interesting thought. As an umpire referee, and if it comes into the marketplace more, they go to great lengths to vet umpires and referees and whatnot, because obviously who would be at the, who would have the most control over a game pursuant to betting or gambling than an umpire. Tell me about that. What do they impress upon you? What classes do you take? What do they do?
Well, first of all, when I was being considered by the American League back in 1984, In the off seasons, I bartended out at I won't name the place, but it was a private country club in the Twin Cities area. And we had probably four or five very, very active bookmakers in that facility. Mm-hmm. And there was many times where people would come in and hand me an envelope and say, give this to so-and-so when he gets here. Now, I pretty much knew what it was, but I was just an envelope as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
And I would do what I was asked to do. And then when they ran the background check on me, they specifically, you know, asked about my employment and what I knew and what about this guy, that guy, and the other guy. And right. I said, well, as far as I know, they're members of the club. And have you ever seen any? I said, nope, I've seen guys get on the phone. But as far as what their activities were, I did not know. And even though I did know, I just said, I'm not aware. And that was part of the, and that was an FBI investigation before you get hired. After that, once you're on the staff, we had every year on our annual meeting, we would have a speaker come in. And one of them was a guy who I can't remember his name, but a lot of people will remember his name. He was a former associate of Gotti and Sammy the Bull and all those guys.
Yeah.
And he ended up turning state's evidence. And Mike something or other. He told us the whole story about how bookies and gambling people would approach umpires and be very, very coy. And you have no idea what, you know, they would ask you, say, hey, how was the game last night? How was Clements throwing? You know, they would ask you these little subtle questions, but they were looking for information.
Yep.
And we didn't know any better. You know, we just assumed the guy's a baseball fan and he's a Red Sox fan or he's a Yankee fan or whatever. And, but eventually, we were very well versed in, you know, what to look for. And then we had, department, the security department of Major League Baseball grew, exponentially when I was there. We had former FBI, and a New York, former police chief in New York that were the head of the security for Major League Baseball that oversaw any possible activity along those lines. And we were pretty well versed. And today it's pretty well, it's non-existent. I mean, there was the Donaghy thing in the NBA.
Yeah.
He was a degenerate gambler. And fortunately, they found him before he was able to really cause any harm, as far as anybody knows, to any, you know, say postseason games or what have you. Nobody really knows if all he did was feather his own nest on particular gambling issues or if he actually had huge input or, you know, on a particular game or a particular situation. But it's pretty well under control now as far as that goes. And then, of course, now that people can bet online and they can, you know, there's states that already allow betting. And here I'm watching the Tampa Bay, Florida hockey game right now. And between periods, you know, they run an advertisement that you can bet who's going to score the next goal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've moved to that. Right. We moved to that piece of it now. Yeah. Yeah. So at some point in time, players will have to accept that pressure. Do they ever hold umpires or referees accountable? Do they ever say, we want you to watch if you'd see anything that would be suspicious, meaning players are trying to throw a game? Do they ask you to be on guard for that, or is that not your responsibility?
Not specifically. That more falls into the hands of the security department itself. If, however, you're an umpire and you hear a conversation between players from opposing teams or something along those lines, you would be wise to, you know, inform the commissioner's office as soon as possible. But it's not part of the job description. It's not necessarily your responsibility, although common sense would dictate to you that if you had the slightest inclination to think that something was haywire, that you would inform the necessary people.
All right. Tim, can you stay on with us for a quick break? Because there's something else I want to talk to you about on the Cretan side of things.
Absolutely. Okay. No problem. Sure.
Tim Cheetah, umpire extraordinaire, is our guest. When we come back, one of the great baseball men of all time in this state is struggling a little bit right now. We'll explain when we come back. Welcome back. Tim Cheetah, our guest, umpire extraordinaire. Before we talk about another topic going on over in St. Paul. Tim, when you see batting averages this low in American League in particular, nationally too, obviously, you know, more guys are swinging for home runs. We all know that, and all the swing for the fences. But is there something else that could be done to change that from a rules standpoint that you think would help the game? Or maybe this is right where the game wants to be.
Well, I can't see how they want to be right here. To be honest with you, it's a product that is becoming a little bit difficult to watch, given the lack of consistency or the lack of action. And I am a firm believer, and I'm very hopeful that they find some way to restrict the shift.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a huge factor. You know, if you're trying to get kids and more people wanting to come to the games and watching the games, it has to have more. It's just there's strikeouts and flyouts are just not fun to watch. And you're always better off to be able to see, if they're not playing in the shift, you can still see a lot of great defense.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Yep.
That in itself is exciting. It doesn't have to be a high-scoring game, but it's when what normally used to be a routine base hit is now a routine out.
Yes, it is.
It's
a
not,
routine out because the second base was playing so far over and the shortstop's behind second base and they hit the ball and you go, whoa, and then you go, oh, okay, shift's on, you know?
Yeah, it's a two-hop ground ball. So now it's placement is so important and – they all throw so hard that it's not easy to pull the ball right now. And more hitters just are not adept at hitting the other way. So what kind of action do you see? To me, I watch games primarily because I want to see who's umpiring and watch my buddies, but it can be a difficult task to stay interested. For very long, and that's not a good thing.
Is it these pitchers right now that throw this hard easier to work a game behind the plate with them or harder?
I would say it's harder because they don't necessarily have as good a command as if, say, they threw in the low 90s or the high 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The key to success in pitching is the ability to locate your fastball where you want it, when you want it. And that doesn't really exist in Major League Baseball right now overall.
Because they're just trying to throw it hard.
They're just trying to throw it hard.
Yeah.
Speed still doesn't matter. It's location, location, location when it comes to pitching. If you look at the statistics of a guy like a Greg Maddux and a Tommy Glavine and guys like that, even Johan, Johan Santana would top out once in a while at 94, mm-hmm. but he averaged about 92, 91 on the fastball, but he could dial that changeup down to 78. And the ability to change speeds is not, universally there in yep. Major League Baseball right now. It's all power, power, power. And, they fall behind in the count a lot. Hitters get way too selective on what they want to swing at. And it's not the best product that it can be, I don't mm-hmm. think. And I would hope that they go in some direction that would change that. I think the shift thing is a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Even giving people credit who were able to come up with the idea and realize that the statistics are there that show this, but the NBA for years had that illegal defense when they decided to go man-to-man instead of zone because they wanted more action.
Yep.
And baseball can to have something as describe it as an illegal defense. I would like to see that.
Yep.
I think that's a good starting point. At least you got something to go with. I don't know how you can, you know, you can't tell guys to pitch slower or anything.
Yeah.
You know, the speed is there. You know, okay, that's fine. But I think the shift thing has really had a huge, huge impact on the game over the last 5 years. I really do.
Tim Cheat is our guest. Tim, there's one of the greatest baseball people I've ever met in my life. In terms of knowing the game, you'd be hard pressed in the state to meet people that know the game much better than he is. Dennis Denning, longtime successful coach at Creighton Durham Hall, and then he also went to school as you did, and then at St. Thomas he took up to a national title when they said Northern teams couldn't win national titles in the spring in Division III baseball. He won one, no big surprise, and he's struggling a little bit right now and has moved to a memory care facility. And for people that, I've never met a man that could simplify baseball the way he could. Give your description of Dennis Denning.
Well, for starters, Dennis Denning is, and I've been around, had the privilege to be around world-class athletes pretty much my entire adult life. But going back to when I played briefly for Dennis, and then I actually umpired high school baseball when he was coaching, and I was actually still in high school, believe it or not. But Dennis Denning is the most competitive person I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe that, ask people that would play pick up basketball against him or whatever. And I mean, he had razor blades on his elbows. And I mean, when, you know, you would go up against Dennis and he would just bang the daylights out of whoever he was guarding. And, you know, games where you called your own fouls or called fouls against you. And the guy would say, that's a foul, Dennis. That's not a foul. You know? And he was just incredible that way. And it rubbed off on his players. And he accepted nothing less than your best efforts at all times. And he was, just an incredible, incredible teacher and an incredible coach. And I don't know how much time we have, Maxie, but I can share a story with you before we
go ahead. Yeah.
Mark Wagner, who graduated from Creighton Durham Hall as well. Mark is a Creighton Durham Hall graduate, and he played baseball. He's a crew chief in the big leagues now as an umpire. Mark blew his elbow out as an eighth grader pitching, throwing too many curveballs. And then he went to Creighton as a freshman. And he decided to go out for track because he couldn't play baseball anymore. And he was springtime. He's practicing on the track and the baseball team's out there. And he's, you know, salivating, wishing he could be out there playing baseball. He finally decides to go home, and his father, they didn't have a lot of money, and they hung up a tarp and a mattress kind of thing in their garage. And after school every night, Mark went home and he taught himself how to throw left-handed. And he did that for a year.
Because he'd blown out his right arm, right?
Correct. And Dennis got wind of it. He'd never met Mark. He'd never heard of him or anything else. And he right away, he said, he's on my team. That kid's on my team next year. I don't care how good he is. He's on my team. Those are the kind of kids I want.
Yep.
So Mark ended up being played his junior year as a backup outfielder, and he played his senior year. He was a co-captain with a future Heisman Trophy winner, Chris Winkie, on the state championship team. And, that's Dennis Denning.
Yep.
You know, there's a Mark Wagner story there, but that's a Dennis Denning story as well. That, you know, those are the kids, and that's what I want my kids to be like. And you know, ask anybody that ever played for him. You know, they'll tell you that he evaluated your talent very fairly, gave you nothing but good advice. You know, actually encouraged me and Mark both to umpire and to stay in baseball. And that's just the kind of guy he is. And right now, between him and his family, they've got their hands full. He's not doing well, it's a really sad thing for everybody that knows him to see and to know and to just be in total disbelief. And of course, you know, we all know people and we're all exposed to memory issues and all that goes with that. And it's just, it's so sad.
It's a tough one. Yep. And it does, and they look the same and it doesn't get better. Yep.
Exactly. But, you know, it's funny that, you know, Paul Weinberg, who played for the Gophers, also played for Dennis. And Paulie had been taking Dennis to lunch at Skinner's every Wednesday here in St. Paul. And I would stop down there once in a while. I'd walk in and Dennis would right away, Kimmy, geez, hey, come on over, you know.
Yep.
And, but even though he was struggling,
yeah,
you know, he would have good days and bad days. But it sounds like the bad days are outweighing the good days these days. And that's so painful to be aware of. And fortunately, the Cretan Durham Hall community has set up a GoFundMe page.
Yes.
And it's going quite well because it's consumed a lot of Dennis's resources.
Yeah.
Dennis and Nancy both. And, so I, as far as the last I looked at the GoFundMe page was going really strong and hopefully it still will. And if there's anybody out there, I don't have the specifics, but I know you can
figure it out pretty easily in this day and age. Yeah.
Yeah. So. You got to do it. You just got to Google Dennis Denning, DENNING, GoFundMe. And I think all the info's there. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the CDH community, you know, Anything can help.
Absolutely. Tim, thank you so much. I hope to see you over at Mancini soon.
Sounds good, Mike. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, you too. I love having Tim Cheat on. He's always good. When we come back, they have not given up on getting sports restored at the University of Minnesota. We'll visit with one man on that mission. Stay with us. Welcome back. Mike Linneman used to run track for the University of Minnesota, and they're still got hope that they can bring some of the programs back that were eliminated last year. They took it to the legislature. They've been bringing it. They've been fighting it. They're fighting the great fight, and he joins us now. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Maxie, for having me on.
You bet. Give me an update. Where does it stand right now? You guys have gone back and forth a little bit at the legislative level. Regent Rush has done a great job presenting your case. Where is it at right now, and in whose hands does it lie? What is the key to this?
Well, it's different for each sport, but currently they're in special commission for status. So what that means is there's a conference committee, there's a host bill, Senate bill, and we want to have a special commission to study sport, specifically at the University of Minnesota, but at the whole University of Minnesota system. Having worked for the university, I know Crookston's got some of these problems too. Half the kids on that campus are student athletes. That's reality, mainly online school. So we want to look and say, all right, let's have a special commission, and Regent Rocha proposed it to say, all right, let's go back 2 years, examine everything, because now the picture's clear, not a moving target, and how much revenue is at. Let's re-examine that. Let's look at the current status, which even as sport in the country, there's now $5,980 payments made possible. Name, image, and likeness is really radicalizing the game, especially in basketball, to even new revenue streams like the Big Ten new TV deals. So it's different where everything is. And then we really wanted this commission to look at prescribing solutions for the future as obviously, more women than men are going to the university. That's not going to change. How can we be prepared for that? And then how can the U be driven to discover and be the model for every Big Ten school and every national school and every urban school?
Let me just stop you there. Do you think they got the kahunas to step up and be original?
Honestly, yes.
Do you?
I do. Having worked at the university, I do think that they have the ability to find sport management people. They have the Women's Tucker Center, which is incredible with research. They have all the pieces. You just need to have the gumption and sometimes a little nudge from the legislature to say, hey, this is a good idea. Yes, the three sports that were cut are bringing it forward, but it doesn't mean it's a bad idea to examine these things. That's a good thing.
And there's no law that says you can't bring them back.
There is no law
that I've seen.
I mean, track is still there.
Yeah, and the track is still there. The athletes are still willing, right?
Absolutely correct. I mean, all the kids are still there. A couple kids transferred out, you know, the fifth-year kids that are like, well, I still want to finish out my indoor career, and I only have a year left. You know, I'm going to go somewhere else, which we lost a couple kids in that. But a lot of these kids, they want to stay here. They want to wear the M. They want to represent their state, just as I did. That's why I went to the U.
Is tennis working hard? I mean, is each sport doing it on their own, or what do you got going?
Well, we got a weekly meeting within the three sports where there's different avenues, different angles, of course, to examine. But each sport looks at it differently. Gymnastics has a club model temporarily, then trying to get back to varsity status. Track is there, and basically we just need, like, to wear the uniform indoors. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, same coaches are there. Same batons are there. Nothing really changes on that. Tennis.
Shot put weighs the same,
They still have money in place. That is, that those endowments aren't getting allocated to anything right now. So they have these abilities to come back, but in different ways. And that's why we're working together, because, you know, from the many are working together to work as one.
Do you have confidence the legislature has their arms around this and understands it?
I think some do. I think it's very easy to get tripped up on procedural things with university autonomy. Again, the university was started before the state, so the legislature can't make them do anything. However, they can say, okay, we're going to remember you next year during the budget bills.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to remember what you said. But we don't want to be antagonistic like that. It really is, let's get the research out. Let's solve this together. And if you need some public dollars to do it, well, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Yeah. The campaign, do you put deadlines on it? Does that have to be done by this session? How are you going about your business that way?
Well, obviously, it's you have to have some artificial deadlines, because session is one of them. But otherwise, it's ongoing. We've been at this for 2 years working on this project. And from track's perspective, we really just flip the lights back on. Same amount of coaches, same amount of kids on the team. You really just wear the uniform and maybe take some bus trips to Iowa State with their 300-meter indoor track.
Yeah.
So we could flip that back on any time. The other sports are a little harder to turn back on, but that's why track is so excited about this, to say, well, this isn't hard for us to do that.
Couldn't you, though, with all those sports, I mean, couldn't you geographically adjust to and say, look, we now have Division I sports all over in South Dakota, North Dakota. We've got Iowa State. We've got Drake. We've got Iowa. We've got Northern Iowa. We've got Wisconsin, Green Bay, Marquette. I mean, the list goes on and on. Couldn't you make it a more regional sport for these, and would that be enticing to them?
No, because at the D1 level, if you're a Hassan Mead, you know, Pride of South Minneapolis, and you can be Olympic trials, Olympics level, are you going to go to a team that is incomplete, or are you going to go to a team that you get to compete and effectively have a preseason, you know, no different than spring ball? You're going to choose the one with a full contingent. You're just going to. And that's exactly what we've seen with Maryland. Maryland cut their indoor team. Maryland is 13th out of 13 at the Outdoor Big Ten Championships. It's just more difficult to get the top talent from your own state, especially as St. Thomas is going Division I. Now we have an in-state competition.
Sure, and if they're offering something that's better than you're offering, it's pretty simple.
Well, you look at A to B, you know, it's tough. And we don't want to become Northwestern, which cut all their track in 1990.
Yep.
But we also don't want to become Maryland, that has an incomplete team. So that is why we still see hope to say, you know, there's got to be a way, there's got to be an angle we can do this. And we're still examining every option.
Mike, appreciate it very much, and keep us updated.
Absolutely. Anytime you're back on, any sort of news, I'll let you know.
You got it. Mike Linneman on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. When we come back, the texts have just flooded in since I broached this topic at 6:30, and it was point counterpoint. Chris Tubbs taking a different approach to it than I did. And I'll just let you know how the texters feel. That's all I can do when we come back on Sports to the Max. We started the show off with a spirited debate about gambling, which led to a debate about whether marijuana should be legal, and I opened up the text lines. You can call us, too, on this, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. But the texts have stacked up now. And I said, I don't think that people need another vice, another temptation, another way to lose their paycheck and damage families and everything else by adding gambling to the menu. And I think we already got too many people stoned out there, and legalizing marijuana doesn't do much for me. I know a guy grows marijuana. Yuck. I wouldn't. If you met him, you'd go, I wouldn't spend 3 minutes with that guy. Ugh. Yuck. Puke, you know? All right. So. I hear some of the texts, and this is unbiased by me. I'm just going to read them, and all I can do is read with how the people respond. That's all I do. I am the conduit from the people to the airwaves to you at home listening. People only care about what benefits them. If it hurts others, they turn the other way. Good point. If they put the funds into a pool where athletic associations could apply for grants to do facility improvements, equipment upgrades for safety, reducing costs for athletics, I would be in favor of it. Mike, just because another state does it doesn't make it right. Maxie, your radio co-host, is already gambling. Why do we need to legalize it? Okay, I'll stop right there. Tubbsy?
Yes.
If you're already gambling,
mm-hmm.
hypothetically, why do we even need to legalize it?
Because none of the money that I'm spending on sports gambling is staying within the state. And that's ultimately, yeah, those that want to are going to. Just like those that want to drink on Sundays because of the liquor laws, guess what? They're going to find a way to drink alcohol on Sunday. Those that want to partake in certain activities are going to find a way. Absolutely. Here's my thing, and I'm not going to throw shade at the texters, and I'm not. Here's what I will say. A lot of what I'm seeing are subjective and assumptive when we're talking about this may lead to X, Y, and Z, or, you know, the politicians are doing, we're making a lot of assumptions. Okay. I want something in black and white to tell me why it is such a negative thing and why.
Well, I think though that it's fair to say there is no great upside.
And I can argue that there are.
And that would be what?
I mean, you can look at
new water fountain at the park. I mean, how do you see that playing out?
No, I mean, I can look at the tax rates of the other states that have it legalized, and I can go through state by state and tell you where that money's going.
Okay. Okay. And, now, hang on.
Yeah.
That's the point. Okay. Here's a counterpoint to that. Okay. I got to find it here.
Okay.
I've got some many
again,
of them here.
I want something that gives me facts.
Okay. This is pretty close to facts.
Okay.
A really dumb idea because we all started that way, talking about marijuana now. Mm-hmm. I talked to a teacher in Colorado who said the high school classes changed dramatically after legalization, not in a good way. Take a look at their car accident reports. Many more deaths because of driving under the influence. I figured maybe a good result would be more control over the product and less black market influence, mm-hmm. but California has had more trouble with marijuana farms than ever before.
What, when it comes to those car accidents, what is under the influence? I mean, is that alcohol? Is it marijuana? I mean,
I guess if the percentage went up after you added legalizing it, you would have to make a fairly safe assumption that if it was at this rate and then we legalized marijuana and it jumped up to this rate, I don't think that's a hypothesis. I think that you can feel pretty safe that there's something there.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you're talking about an assumption, and I want to see where there is a direct connection between legalizing of the sports. Because, I mean, the marijuana thing and the cannabis – the cannabis thing, I will say, when and I've got the text line up, but I'm not looking at it directly right now. You know, when there are problems with farms, there are going to be problems again with anything, whether it's, you know, whether it's in Washington or it's in, you know, Arkansas or Colorado or, you know, Illinois, wherever legalized marijuana is, there's a stigma about marijuana.
I don't know about legalized in Arkansas.
Right.
I mean, have you seen Ozarks? There are enough issues down there. Okay.
We've been to Lake of the Ozarks.
Okay.
We live in Missouri.
Okay, here's another point that texture makes.
Okay.
Each vice that people get involved in should have a tax level to cover the issues that come with it. We have missed that number terribly.
Yes, and I agree with that. I agree. But here's what I would say to that. If we look at some of the numbers from the other states, and again, I could spend an entire segment on this. In Arkansas, the majority, 13-20% tax, majority goes to the state's general fund. In Colorado, 10% of it goes towards funding the implementation of the state water plan and other public purposes. Delaware, 50% to a general fund. D.C., it's a little bit more complicated. I mean, you can look at any one of these and you can find, you know, in Tennessee, 20%, you know, it's a 20% tax rate. 80% of the revenue is directed to the lottery for education account, 15% to the general fund, 5% to mental health and substance abuse services. So, absolutely.
But do you need the mental health services now because you've created your own disease?
You're not creating a disease with this.
Addiction.
I don't necessarily buy that this is going
and
to...
You know what they say, if you start with marijuana, it leads to more, you know, worse things.
But is that true for everybody? Or is that just an assumption? Is that something that we make? Because again, when I was younger, absolutely, I smoked marijuana. And if marijuana was legal in Minnesota...
I've never smoked marijuana in my life.
Okay, and I mean, people out there can grill me on the text line. I really don't give two pahooties whether or not people are going to say, oh my God, you smoke weed. Yes, I smoked weed when I was younger. I don't do it now. But if it was legal in Minnesota, would I have some? Yes, because it's safer than a lot of the other activity. Let's be honest. It's less.
You're making an assumption now. You're assuming that it's safer then.
It's less.
There's no data there. You're just assuming that.
It's less harmful than alcohol.
Well, but you're saying that, but you don't have any data to back that with. It depends on how much you smoke and how much you drink.
I could bring up some of those numbers.
But I mean, is that three joints versus one beer? Or what is it that you're talking about?
Well, see, and that's where, you know, we...
You're assuming.
Well, not necessarily, though. But I guess let's get... I mean, there's so much meat on the bone.
But doesn't gambling then, once doesn't betting, doesn't that lead to other vices in your life?
No. I can sit here and gamble and put down a wager on a 17 parlay or play some daily fantasy sports, and I am okay with that. Because I can control it. Some people can't control it no matter what they do.
But isn't that always the first step? Oh, yeah, I can control it.
Maxie, I've been doing this for 25 years.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You don't know when it can spin out of control. Here's another. This is a really good one. With you 100%, Max. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, if they say they're with you,
that's good. No, it says with you 100%. We're so eager to add betting and legalized drugs due to philosophical arguments, but how much of this is studied?
I've got it right here. I've got it right in front of me.
You got some of it in front of you, correct?
I've got a lot of it in front of me from the NCSL.org research.
Okay, well. We'll keep taking this up, but I think my point is well taken.
Doesn't mean it's right.
Are we out of time?
Yeah, we're way over.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it some more on the other side. You'll see, well, you guys have already proved my point. If you want to come to Tubbsy's Rescue, you can, 651-461-9226.
Nah, I'm on my own. I'll be on my own. I'm cool.
People that use drugs have all the excuses and no answers. Good night, everybody. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.